You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? It's Monique Leray, and this is The Startup with Monique Leray on a beautiful sunny Sunday afternoon. How are you? How's your summer going? Guys, I'm so excited to be with you. I have two dynamic entrepreneurs. Some serial entrepreneurs will be here today. And I want to just give you guys a quick update before I bring people on the show. We're actually getting ready to go to Europe tomorrow for the Pandemic Project Documentaries Part 2, which is the pandemic film. So I made this little pillow for the Pandemic Project. As you guys know, this is the American version where we tackled 20 cities around America last year. And now this year, we're headed to our five through 11 countries. And that's going to be in Europe. So we've already done four this year. And so we're going to head to London, Amsterdam, Valencia, Spain, Ibiza, and Paris, if they'll let us in, and Warsaw, Poland, on our way back. So that's where we're headed. If I can squeeze in Italy, I will. It's a fast and furious trip. We're only going for a week, 8 days. And if you have a pandemic story, if you've got an entrepreneurial story, your survival story, an everyday humanitarian story, that's all we're doing. We're not touching any of the politics. We believe this is a human interest story. Please email us at capaquariusmedia@gmail.com and send a picture, send a paragraph or two, send a page. We'll read it, get back to you, and we can set up a Zoom chat with you. And if we're in your area in Europe, we'll try to meet up with you at a coffee shop or somewhere safe and masked up. All right. So without further ado, you guys, I have an amazing entrepreneur on today, and I hope I don't butcher your last name, Vaughn. Vaughn Reyes.
Perfect.
He's here?
Perfect.
Okay, good. I was practicing. I'm not even going to lie. Welcome to The Startup. How are you today?
I'm actually awesome. Really good. Thank you.
Nice.
Good to
Thank
be here.
Thank you so much for carving out. Huh? Yeah. I'm reading your bio, and thank you for carving out time to be with us and kind of share the news about one of your new projects. But why don't we just start from the top, and why don't you just tell the listeners and viewers who you are and what you do?
So again, my name is Vaughn Reyes. What I do is kind of a loaded story. I do a lot of different things. I have this disease called, entrepreneurship that doesn't quit, And so
there's a lot of that going around.
I don't seem to be okay with being okay. I just have to keep adding. And so in my lifetime, I've been in, I can't even count how many businesses. I've probably done over 30 startups in my life.
Wow.
A lot of them in media, technology, entertainment. Recently, about 3 years ago, I got into the hospitality business. We got into the franchise restaurant business.
Nice.
Right now, we're expanding that, and we're building new restaurants as we speak. But then, the project where I'm spending most of my time right now, my sort of like what's my passion is news media. And we just launched a new website called HeySoCal.com, which is sort of the conglomeration of all of our media assets that we've had for the last 25 years that covered Southern California.
Wow.
We pointed all of those websites to one portal, HeySoCal. And, and I could tell you more about that. I'll let you tell
yes.
me what you want me to tell you about that.
No, you know what? And it's funny because I think, Sean Antonio, by the way, is how I met you. And he's really a great connector of the dots, if you will. I like to do it as well. I'm not sure if I've mastered it, but Sean Antonio for sure is one that has. And as you're explaining, hey, SoCal, and you're telling me about all your, all the affiliates and your one conglomerate, I'm in my mind getting so excited because I want to get my dry erase board and do the thought bubble. And like, so tell everyone out there,
I have a whiteboard. I have a whiteboard in every room in that I ever.
I love it. I love it. My first date, like if I meet the one, it will be at Staples and we'll be in the organization aisle. So there you go. and to that, right, you know, if someone had kind of what you are just described, and they have a lot of different things floating around, yours seems more organized, but they aren't yet. And how would you recommend that they bring it together as one? Because we want ease of access and we want organization. And when people are searching for something, I find the quickest and the easiest way, that's the way to get your customers, right?
You know, so what you just asked is there's two parts to that, I guess. One is, how do you sort of like focus your efforts and how do you manage it all? Was that the question?
Yes. So, and access for the client. However you want to answer it, it is a large question.
Well, I'll start with the foundation, which is like, how do you manage it all? Because if you're not managing it all, then your customers aren't seeing it anyway. So how I manage so many things is, years and years ago, I used to wake up every morning and I had multiple things going on and life was hell. I was literally doing 110 hours a week. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
So I was making lists, like to-do lists every day, wake up, you know, do the routine, do the rat race, get up and make, you know, I'd get through 40 of those things. And then this other 60 would carry over, and, you know, yeah, you know, the routine, yeah, right?
Yes.
I had this insight, and I decided I'm going to start making lists of not to do things, like things that I don't want to do, that I shouldn't do. And but they should get done anyway, you know? And so
right,
I started, like, it completely shifted my entire thinking of like, okay, if you keep making to-do lists, you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. But if
forever,
you do not to-do lists, then it's like, okay, how do I get this done without me having to deal with it? How do I get this done without me having to deal with it? How do I get this done? And so on and on and on. And I spent it took me probably about a year and a half to go through my list of all the not to do's. And one day it just sort of happened organically. I woke up and I was like, I don't have anything to do today. What do I do now?
Wow. What a liberating feeling too. But also, if you are a serial entrepreneur, you have the disease of entrepreneurship, that's also a nightmare because you don't know what to do with yourself. But I think, you know,
that's the thing, right? So then I'm like, okay, I got to launch a new company, you know? or I got to go, you know, build schools in West Africa, or I got to go do, you know, this documentary or whatever it is, you know. But what's awesome about that is that when you get through all of your not to do's, it sort of creates a whole new way of thinking and a whole new way of functioning and a new way to organize yourself and your team and your organization all together, like just setting up systems and like redundancies and like autopilot, right? And anyway, so that was sort of like my first step of being able to actually do multiple different things, because without that, you only have so much bandwidth, right?
Yeah.
So and then in terms of, like, you know, you asked, how do you bring your customers to how do you focus your customers on what you're doing? Well, you know, I'm not trying to get my restaurant customers to go, I mean, if they did, it'd be awesome. If I could get all my restaurant customers to also go check out HeySoCal.com, that'd be great, and vice versa.
I mean, yeah.
But I don't. Yeah. But it's not a. But you know, you segment. You manage these by segment, right? Like, and so I have a team. We have teams that manage this, and that's what they do. Period. Right, and they're empowered, and they're awesome, and they're doing their thing. And you have another team that's doing this. And then you have your sort of like your overall, you know, your umbrella structure, right? And that umbrella structure, right, really important. And our job on the umbrella is just to empower people, period.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did I answer your question? That was a lot.
You actually did. Well, you did, because if you're not organized and the infrastructure isn't there, when you go to get customers, it's going to be a mess. And I think that that's a really important thing that I don't speak on enough. And I think that, you know, I say keep it lean in the beginning, but when you can build out and delegate to a team, even if it's a team of one, but it's not you, and you can delegate out, that'll give you more bandwidth to get things done. But I think the golden ticket in all of it that you just shared, Vaughn, was the not to do list. Holy smoke. I think that's going to change my life. And I hope the listeners and viewers will take from that, because, you know, time is an asset that we just, you know, no one has enough of, and can't get it back, right? So figuring out what's important, I think, is really, really
a big thing. You know, it's easier said than done. You in the beginning, you have to do, you know, you don't have, when I started out, it was me, myself and I running the business, period. Like that's why I was doing 110 hours a week. But you know, you got to be in that mindset. It's not like, oh, I'm going to start making not-to-do lists and boom, I'm not doing, you know, no, it's okay. You got to start thinking that way and start moving that way. There's stuff to do to get to not to do, you know?
Yeah, so, that's good. It's an autopilot kind of mentality. Like you want to get your business up and running and it be on autopilot. And it sounds like you mentioned philanthropy and humanity, go build a school or a food co-op or something. So why don't you share with us a little bit about your humanitarian work and how you've been able to find time for that?
Well, you know, how I found time for that again is goes back to that original, I made time. And, you know, if you look at my my Facebook page, I have a, have you ever heard of George Bernard Shaw?
I think so. Okay, yes.
So George Bernard Shaw has this, like this little, it's like a paragraph and it's called A Splendid Torch. And it describes, what his purpose is. And I've taken that as sort of like the constitution for my life. Like my purpose for life is not to be here and make money, not to be here and buy a boat, buy a bigger car, buy a bigger house, whatever. My purpose for being here is to do good for humanity. Like, I don't know, that sounds, you know, that sounds kind of like, that sounded hokey just when I said it, but no. I mean it.
Well, we got to get past that, Vaughn.
But I mean it, but I mean it.
Yeah, we need it though.
Yeah, so like I really am, like my life should, I want my life to be known for more than, oh, he built a great business and made a lot of money.
Right.
A lot of people did that. Good. So what, right? So yeah. What I'm here to do is, you know, oh, he built a school and he changed the lives of like hundreds of kids, you know, in West Africa. He, you know, built women's shelters in East Asia. He did this, he did that, whatever, like those kinds of things. And so, you know, we did build a school in West Africa that has about 500-600 students, that we support to this day, with a dear friend of mine. We built that years and years ago. Wow. And I don't participate as much anymore, but I still contribute and I still stay, you know, on top. But the key again is like to build these things, like to help build a school or a shelter or whatever. But then, you know, build that and then make sure it's sustainable and that it's capable of supporting itself and continuing to move forward. So, anyway, so I look for opportunities like that. And I've been fortunate to work with like true superheroes on this planet, people who do these kind of things and then be able to collaborate with them.
If someone wanted to get into that space of humanitarian work and they wanted to shift from, you know, being a business mogul all day, what little nuggets of advice would you give and how could they get involved with what you're doing?
I would say do what you can. Everybody thinks, you know, I tell people, oh, I did this and this and this, and they're like, oh, I wish I had, I can't, you know, and people think they don't have time or they don't have the resources. Dude, if you just $20 a month, find an organization that you believe in, that you feel really excited about, that's doing the kind of work you want to do. Yes. Give them $20 a month. Give them $200 a month. Give them $2,000 a month if you can afford whatever it is, you know? And then as far as time, there literally is no shortage of things you can get involved in if you're interested and you start looking, you know? And I'm not advocating for one thing or another, but I'll say if I... Today, I would say find an organization that's working on voting rights and maybe work with them, you know.
Hey, you know what? My grandmother grew up in the South, and I support that message for sure. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's another reason why I got into news media. That's my number one passion in life. Like, if you're going to say, like, what's your passion? It's news media. It's
tell us about informing that. People. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, I feel like the more informed we are, the more impact we're going to be able to have on the planet in a positive way. Of course, the flip side of that is the more misinformed you are, the more damage you can do to the planet in terms of I won't name outlets, but because we're not going to get political, right? But there are certain outlets you can listen to that literally will take you to the dark side,
and information is so powerful, and we are in the information age. And I think it's an asset we have to be careful with. We have to be careful what we're absorbing and what we're regurgitating. And it's subconscious, right? I mean, it's while we're sleeping, it's just happening. And, you might leave your phone on or your TV or whatever running, and it just gets in there, and we got to fact check.
I've been dedicated to that. That's why I founded my original company 25 years ago, Beacon Media. We've done stories where the FBI got involved and the mayor of that city went to jail. Done stories where, big, large corporations, we discovered they were dumping stuff in the LA River. And we actually went and investigated and took photos, and they got fined millions of dollars and had to clean that up. We've done these kinds of stories throughout our history. We've had a very rich and robust history of investigative journalism and so we've brought all of that. The thing you asked me what was going on with our, we had 26 or 27 community newspapers in Southern California. And we had 27 little websites for each one of them in each one of these communities. And it was very diffused. You weren't able to get. So last year, we decided to take this opportunity while we're sort of like in limbo during COVID and trying to figure out how to survive that. We decided, let's take this opportunity and actually reinvent ourselves.
Nice.
How do we get all of this? How do we bring real momentum and power behind all of this news and information and, content that we have, and focus that in such a way that we can reach larger audiences? And so that was the whole conversation. So we took all of those 25 websites. This is a unique thing. The key in the holy grail that everybody's looking for is hyperlocal access, hyperlocal news and hyperlocal access to your readership or to your audience. And we've had that for 25 years. We've had that hyperlocal. But now we have that hyperlocal, but taking advantage of the width of our, how many hyperlocal we have,
Right.
And so we brought all that under one portal at heysoulcal.com, and it's an awesome thing. Our readership is just going through the roof. Before we launched, we didn't even launch. We just took it live for about a month or two before. And the month that was May, we launched on June 1st or June 7th. Sorry. During May, we had 73,000 unique visitors.
Wow.
Just because it was there. We hadn't
not,
even
not marketed. Driving it. Not
no one had
SEO.
Even heard of heysoulcal.com yet, but just the fact that we put it up there and we put the news on there and we were doing a little bit of SEO on it.
Oh, you were. Okay.
Yet 73,000 people just came to visit just because,
It's a cool name. It's a cool, catchy, what other outlets of those 27 that you had would we know? Were there some names before that
they're
we would have known?
Community, they're all small community newspapers like Pasadena Independent, Arcadia Weekly, the Burbank Independent, scattered. I won't name all 28 of them.
Did you have the Penny Saver in there?
No.
I missed the Penny Saver.
Knowing what that is ages me. But
okay, well, me too. You look great for our age.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No, this sounds like the sweet spot for you. And as entrepreneurs, serial entrepreneurs, as you say, there's a few projects that I find I'm a little more excited about than others, right? And then sometimes other ones kind of pick up speed out of nowhere because someone asked you for something and it fits right under that idea or concept. What do you find is important for the young entrepreneurs out there when delegating their time and energy to certain projects? How did you know you're really on to something, your first brand, you know? Like, how did you quantify it?
So I did a lot of different things. I started my first business when I was in high school, believe it or not.
I believe it.
The longest job I've ever had was 5 months in my life. And that's not counting Pepe's Pizza during junior high and high school, where I worked for like 4 years.
They've got good pizza.
after high school, the longest job I had was 5 months. And it was, you know, different things. I've done so many different things, and that's part of me being like complete, like business and work career ADD. Oh, yep. Let's do this. This sounds fun. Let's do this. This sounds fun. And you jump around. And then one of those things that I did was I had a design firm. I was a graphic artist for a while. How I would go after clients was I would reply to ads on, you know, wanted ads for people who are doing that. And then I would tell them, I don't want to work for you, but I'll do freelance for you for a minute until you fill the position. And then what would end up happening is usually they'd just stay with me because I did a good job. So
that's smart, Vaughn.
One of those clients, thank you. One of those clients was a newspaper. And he was a young guy who had just bought this. His father had given him some money. He bought this little community newspaper and he was having a really hard time. He didn't know how to operate this business. And he was just spiraling. Like he was losing business. He was just spiraling. So I started just sort of like coaching him, just, you know, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So he asked me to get more involved and help him. So I helped him quadruple his business in like 6 months by just building a sales department.
Wow.
Novel idea.
Wow.
And then, you know, I ended up not working with him any more than that because he had issues. But other than that, I fell in love with the business. I fell in love with what that was all about, how I saw the impact that news can have, that media can have on how communities behave, how laws get passed, how all of that. So how you can change communities, you can change countries, you can change the globe, you know? And so that was it. I found my passion. I fell in love with that business, the news media. And prior to that, you know, my family, we've always been activists. We've always been very political. My father, you know, was very political, and my sister and myself. And so it was just a natural progression for me that I found my passion. And I literally, I could just go on and on about that. So
I feel it. And you know, people look their whole lives for that. You said I worked a job 5 months and you flipped it to work for you. And I think that right now, if anything the pandemic has taught us, we have to seize the day. It's not promised. Go for what you want, F the rest, keep it lean. And I think that a lot of people have been doing that in their own way. Some people just, you know, picking up and moving, never been to Sonoma, and their son leases in Sonoma, you know who you are. Or, you know, they're driving their car across country, or they're leaving. And I like that you you found your niche and you combined it with your passion. So, you know, that's what this is kind of all about. When did you know you were an entrepreneur? I know you said that you started young and you're in the 10th grade, I believe, but when did you know, was it in that time frame that you just described that you knew you weren't going to have to, you weren't going to work for anyone else and that you were definitely different?
You know, if I was to pinpoint a moment or to say that I knew something, I'd be making some stuff up. That was not the case. Right. It was, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18, you don't know anything. You think you know everything, but you actually don't know shit. So
it's true.
That's me. So I honestly didn't, it was just natural for me. You know, I question everything and I'm very curious. And I was the guy that I never did my homework, but I aced every test because
that
the homework is meaningless because, like, you know, for me. I'm just talking to myself. Like, it's boring. It's ridiculous. I already got it. I can watch the late, you know, I would watch my teacher talk about the FOIL method in algebra. And after the first explanation, I was like, I got it. I'm good. But she said, well, we're going to work on this for 2 weeks. I'm like, oh.
You're like, I'm here to save the world and invent something. Let's move this along.
Right. Exactly. I don't know if I'm impatient, ADD, whatever it is. I didn't have the patience or the fortitude to sit there and just listen for a long time or to really concentrate, you know, so
doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know,
I don't know if I answered your question, but.
No, there's a lot of good stuff in there, Vaughn. There's no right or wrong answer because I think we share a lot of similarities actually. And I was reading something where they said, if you procrastinate, it's a sign that you're a genius. And I wouldn't say that I'm a procrastinator because I like to get things done. I'm like a New Yorker. Like, I want it fast and let's go. I'm like, you kind of like speed it up. But if I'm not in that mode, I find that there's a little procrastination because I'm waiting for something. I'm waiting for inspiration or I'm waiting to put it down right when it needs, at the right timing. But they say, so you said you got A's, so maybe that's a sign that you were... I'm not calling you procrastinator, but I think
You nailed it. I've been accused of being a procrastinator on multiple occasions. But, you know, I procrastinate and it feels like I'm not dealing with it, whatever. But I feel like I'm processing. And then when I get on something, like, I'll procrastinate on something. But when I get on it, it's like, boom. It's boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
I
think it's a shot in the arm too for us. We like to pull it off. I think it's like, I like to slide in and pull it off. You know, it's kind of an adrenaline.
Adrenaline junkies.
I know. Do you like roller coasters? I have a season pass to not. So there's that. Anyway. All right, you guys, Vaughn, you've been amazing. I wish I could spend the whole hour with you. So let's just tie this in a nice little bow for now. We'll have to have you come back on the show if you're available. Yeah. So we didn't talk about your documentary films real quick. Give me 2 minutes on any documentaries that you're plugging, that you're passionate about, that you finished, where we could find it.
Well, one of my dear, dear friends just finished a film called Ferguson Rising. And he went to Ferguson. He was there when the riots were going on right after, this is years ago when, you know, it was fresh in everyone's mind and it was sort of the beginning of these conversations, you know, and, or the more recent iteration of these conversations. And so, he just was at Sundance and he won a bunch of awards with that film. So if you're going to check out any film, go check out, Ferguson Rising.
Congratulations to him and his team on that. I've definitely heard that title, and Sundance is huge, and it's a message that we all need to hear. And we're not a political show here, but if you guys haven't noticed, I happen to be Black, so I care about these things. Anyway,
we should all care about these things.
And we should all care about these things, for sure. Love our neighbor. Vaughn, heysocal.com, you guys check him out. Vaughn, give us all your social media plugs. Where can we find you, and what do you have coming up next?
Well, heysocal.com is what's next, or current, but coming up even more. And, you know, we're all over social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. If you just search for HeySoCal, there are not a lot of HeySoCals. It'll pop up for you.
I love it. Well, it's a pleasure, and I'm going to be in touch with you very soon. We have a lot to do together, I have a feeling. And thank you, Sean Antonio, for connecting us.
Yeah, shout out to him. He's one of my dearest, dearest friends. I love him to death, and really appreciate the connection with you. And I feel like, yes, we do have a lot to talk about, Monique. So looking forward to talking with you.
Oh, and please give us your organization for the kids in Africa. Could you plug that real quick so we can, if anybody out there wants
to. Sierra Leone Rising.
Beautiful.
Sarah Culberson is a dear, dear friend. We used to live together for years and years, and she is we did that organization together, and we built that school together in West Africa in Sierra Leone. And she's really sort of running with that now. And Sierra Leone Rising. I think it's SierraLeoneRising.org.
Right.
But
well,
if
we
you
can type that in.
Yeah.
A pleasure, Vaughn.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you so much, Monique.
Thank you. And you're welcome. We'll see you really soon.
Yep. Take care.
Okay. Cheers. All right, you guys. Wow. That was like an amazing intro. Vaughn sounds like the startups material. He really is someone that we could all learn from. He's definitely going to be back. We might have to have him in the studio and give him a full hour to go over his resume, but it is vast. Can you see the sun coming in, guys? I'm at home and I wanted to change up the look, and the sun is really shining today. I hope I'm not washed out. We're going to shift gears here and we're going to go and speak to Derek. Derek, how's it going, Derek?
It's going good, Monique. How you doing?
You are so good. Welcome to the startup. Thank you. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Can you see me? This little orange thing might be in the way. Can you see me okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, we have to have you shift the other direction so we can see your face.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah,
there we go. We don't want to miss out on that smile.
Okay.
All right, Derek. No, yeah. Go in the other direction, Derek.
Oh, this way.
Yeah, go. It's opposite because it's the
same. Oh, I see. Okay. That's one of the
it gets tied up. Scoot over just a little bit more.
A little more. Okay.
A little bit more because we want to listen, everybody. That's perfect. This is Derek's debut. This is your first podcast, right?
It is. I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. You're going to do great. And behind Derek is his logo for Best Credit. Why don't you tell us about your company, Derek? Introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Derek Vasconcelos, and I own a company called Best Credit Repair Solutions, .com. And we are a credit repair and restoration company. We help people that have bad credit or marginal credit. We help them repair their credit so they can restore their life. My motto is restore your credit, restore your life. And that's what we do. Reason why I like this business so much is because I can actually change lives. You know, I mean, believe it or not, your credit has a lot to do with the way you can live. A lot of people just like to pay cash or whatnot, but having a good credit score will enable you to get better interest rates on home loans, on cars, and everything. And in the last, for the last 20 years, I've been in this business off and on. But just recently, I got back involved because of the pandemic. A lot of people have a lot of late payments. Their credit kind of tanked in this last 14 months, and they've been needing my help. And business is great. It's going really well.
Business is booming. And I can't see that you wouldn't be in business all the time, but that makes sense to me. The pandemic definitely slowed a lot of people up, and the healing portion of that, you're going to be booming for a while. You told me off camera, and I spilled the tea, but you work, what, 14 hours a day?
Yeah. Weekends, too.
Wow.
But I get a couple good trips in a year, and now that the pandemic.
Yeah, you do. I follow Derek on his social media platforms, you guys, and he and his lady, Jackie O, they need their own show because they are just, I can tell that when they go and they just live to the fullest, and they're so kind to share their posts with us. Yeah. So, Derek, tell me your background as far as how you got into this business. I know that you also have a fun gig. You're a DJ locally as well.
Yes, I am. Well, initially I got into this business many years ago because I screwed up my own credit, okay? And probably I've messed my own credit up two or three times in the course of my lifetime, okay? When I was in my 20s and early 30s, it was really pretty bad, and I didn't really know. I didn't know what to do, so I researched on how to repair credit online. I just learned everything on my own. I didn't go to a professional like my company because I didn't have the money to do it at the time either. And I just learned all. I learned about the Federal Credit Reporting Act and all the laws that are in place to protect consumers. And by law, you can dispute anything that's on your credit report. And by law, the credit reporting agency has to investigate and verify and validate that debt or whatever it is you're disputing within 30 days. And if they can't do it within 30 days, it automatically has to come off your report. And so that's a big part of how this business works, because if they can't prove it, they must remove it.
I love that. You guys, we brought Derek on here for a reason. We know you want to keep it a hot boy and a hot girl summer, so you got to have that credit. We know that you will have those stimulus checks coming, and you want to make sure that you can pay these bills, and you need to prioritize. So that's why Derek's here, because you want to roll into 2022 with beautiful credit. And, you know, we want to put this pandemic behind us, and always, and, right. and financially as well. So, Derek, let me ask you a few, you know, credit rumors that are swirling, and then we'll do a little rapid fire. You tell me if it's true or false. Okay. And then Derek has a beautiful offer for my listeners and viewers today, and he'll get into that. Okay. I love your story and how you started, by the way. This is called The Startup, and a lot of people do start their business from something that they needed or to answer a question. And it sounded like you came from a pure place of you wanted to just help yourself, and then you were able to help others. So I think that's a great startup story.
Yep.
All right. Here's one of the credit rumors that we're hearing out there. Okay. Now, let me get my words right, because I want to word it right. Okay. Is it true, Derek, that you can backdate a credit letter and you can actually get it removed from your credit?
You can, but it's illegal.
Oh.
I wouldn't recommend doing anything that's not legal, you know. In fact, a lot of companies out there, you might see advertisements on Facebook, for matter, or radio or TV, where they talk about doing credit sweeps, okay, where they can remove any and everything off of your credit report just like that. And it can be done, but that involves lying and also making a false police report saying that there was identity theft involved, okay? Because if there's any kind of identity theft, you can basically dispute everything on your credit report, and it has to automatically come off. So I don't know how I kind of segued into that part, but basically the answer to your question is backdating anything. That's not the way.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't want to go down the road of making police reports. Oh. This is The Startup, guys. This is not called The Felony. We don't want you to catch a case.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of companies do this. A lot of companies get away with it, but if they so what happens is when you do something like that, then sometimes the FBI or the feds will get involved, because identity theft is a federal crime, and now you've got the feds in it. And if they can investigate and determine that this never even took place, then you're looking at some jail time and some fines. So
wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have been behind on stuff because of the pandemic. Let's say someone is behind in their car note and home note. How can they get? Make a deal with the mortgage company and or car financer without getting repoed or foreclosed on?
We specialize in that right now. One of our biggest things that we do to help customers or clients in situations like that is we write what's called a forgiveness letter, and we blame it on the pandemic. I mean, if you lost your job or you were laid off and you weren't able to pay your bills. We write exactly what's called a forgiveness letter, and we explain to the creditor or the credit bureaus what the situation may be or what the situation was. And in a lot of cases, they will forgive up to 2 to 3 payments.
And nice. That
will come off the credit report.
Beautiful, guys. All right. That's more reasons to reach out to you mm-hmm. and hire you for your services. Yep. And my last question.
Okay.
And, I'm trying to see if, this is what I remember they said. You know how you get a debt, like maybe you had a cell phone bill that you forgot to pay and then it rolled into your credit, or an old medical bill or something, and they sell it to another creditor. And so it comes back and on your credit brand new again. But let's say it was like 6.5 years old, about to fall off your credit, mm-hmm. and they sell it to somebody. And then it comes back on again. So it's on there twice. Mm-hmm. And you say, hey, man, show me the original debt where I signed my name. Can you deny that you're in debt with the new company and get the debt off?
Exactly. Yeah. See, with our process, it's not an overnight thing. It usually takes 4 to 6 months, depending on the severity of a person's credit report. But we go through first. What we do first is we send out a verification letter. Okay. You need to, how did this debt come about? You need to verify it and provide us with proof. Okay. If they cannot do that within 30 days, it has to come off. Okay. Now, if they come back with saying, yes, we did validate this debt, then I send off my round two letter. My round two letter is a method of validation How is this validated? Send me the paperwork, show me signatures and whatnot. If they can't do that within 30 days, it automatically has to come off. Okay. A lot of debts are called charge-offs. Say you haven't paid your credit card bill for 6 months, and the credit card company pretty much looks like, they're not ever going to pay. So they charge off the debt, so it comes off their books. Because as long as that debt is still alive on their books, they're paying taxes and interest on that, okay? So what they do is they charge it off, sell it off to a collection agency. Once they've done that, then that particular debt with the original creditor shouldn't be on there anymore. So I can dispute that, and then that should come off automatically. Now with the new creditor, say it's medical bills. They will have to provide proof, when a debt is sold off to a collection agency, say for a medical bill, they can only have so much information. If they have more information, like if it was for an operation or more specific detail, they're not supposed to have that information. That's a violation of the law, and then they'll automatically have to come off as well. So basically, we're just disputing these particular items with whoever the creditor or collection agency is at that particular time.
So good, you guys. You sound like you know what you're doing, but you know what else, Derek? You sound passionate. And look, you're smiling about creditors. Like, you're a crazy man, and I love it. So,
because it's the little guy and Goliath. You know, Davey and Goliath, we're taking on these big corporations, and they're at the mercy of the laws that were created to protect the consumer. So I like it.
Yeah. And I think that you have some success stories. Is there a story that really just jazzes you up, that you helped somebody pull themselves up and they were able to afford something or do something that they wanted to do that you could share with us?
Yeah, bankruptcies. Those are the ones that stay on your credit for 7 to 10 years, okay? And even if you do a debt renegotiation with the creditor, sometimes like during 2008, 2009, when we had the big recession, a lot of loans went into default. And in a lot of cases, they put the loan to the back end of the loan, okay? However they were in arrears, they put that on the back end. But then in some cases, it would still show late or derogatory on the credit report. Some cases, people have to file bankruptcy, okay? And the bankruptcy is still the same thing. The creditors have to verify it with the court. And the way the court systems have been bogged down lately because of the pandemic, they can't usually get it to within 30 days. So getting bankruptcies off of someone's credit report is the best part for me, because those are typically on there, like I said, 7 to 10 years. And those really can hinder you even when you're in a better financial position. Currently, it can still hinder you from purchasing a car, buying a house, and so on. So bankruptcies, I like to do those. Yeah.
I love it. And so anybody stand out in your mind that you've helped that, you know, they were just... You changed. I know you said bankruptcies. Is there anyone in particular? You don't have to say their name, of course,
felt good about? Medical bills, too. I mean, for example, I have a client right now that unfortunately she didn't have any health insurance. She had to go to the hospital. And I don't know if you know how much it costs to stay in a hospital overnight. And if you're there for a couple of weeks, it can be $50,000, $100,000, and so on. And so
that's more than they have to in. So that's expensive.
exactly. And so I helped her just recently get all of her medical bills off of her credit report. She had a horrible credit score. I won't mention her name, but it was like 450. Okay.
You said 450?
450.
Yeah. Wow.
Almost getting close to 500. But as soon as those medical bills came off, her credit score was zero, because she never had any credit cards. She never had any revolving credit or whatnot. So that brings me to something else that we do. We also help clients build credit. People that have zero credit, even young people that are in school or whatnot, we have credit building programs where we can take them from a zero credit score to 706 months or less, with different programs we have. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're the guy to call for sure. So why don't you tell everybody, my viewers and listeners, guys, listen up. Even if you have a 700, you know, there is a such thing as an 8.
Exactly.
So we're always doing better. You can get those frequent flyer, you know, offers and credit cards to travel. And I'm sure him and Jackie O do that. And you get, you know, refinance your house and, you know, live better and help someone start a business, or you start a business. So, Derek has an offer for our listeners, viewers and listeners. Now, how long is this offer going to be for, Derek? Are we going to do this until Christmas, or what are we doing this, Joe?
We'll do this till the end of the year. Anybody that gives us a call at 1-800-460-5940, or you can go directly to our website, www.bestcreditrepairsolutions.com. We'll give you what's called a free consultation and credit analysis. That's normally a $79 value. And I will take some time with you, spend 30 minutes with you on the phone. We'll pull your credit report. I'll go over it thoroughly. I'll create a whole report and analysis. I'll send that to the customer, to the client, and then we'll figure out a plan of action. If they want to go forward, they can. If not, that whole thing is free.
Wow. Thank you, Derek. You guys, it's going to be a hot girl and a hot guy summer. Derek's here to fix your credit. Or make it better.
I love it. And then what they can do is they can call the 800 number, 800-460-5940, or better yet, which is even easier, just go directly to the website, bestcreditrepairsolutions.com, and you can book. They can book their free consultation right there online, set up a time and a date anytime between about 8 and 7 every day, Monday through Saturday. Pick a time slot, and we'll get back with them, and we'll do this for them, no problem.
Derek, thank you so much. That's right, guys. This is free money, all right? You're getting $79 of Derek's time to give you a credit review. And, hey, you know, it's going to make life easier starting up this business or starting up your family or starting up whatever you're starting up, okay?
Exactly.
School, having better credit will make your life easier, and you can bless someone else and help someone else as well. So, Derek, at Best Credit Solutions.
Best Credit Repair Solutions.
You got it. Best Credit Repair Solutions. Derek, there's the banner there. Derek, why don't you give everybody your social media handles where they can find you if they want to just say hello?
Okay. On Facebook, it's the Best Credit Repair Solution. You can just search that in the search bar. On Instagram, it's Best Credit Repair Solutions. Very simple.
I love it.
And my handle on Instagram is The Credit Guru.
Yes. All right, Credit Guru. Okay. All right, DJ Daddy D is the DJ name.
Derek,
it's been a pleasure to see you in person, and thank you so much for doing this. You guys, let's give Derek a round of applause. This is his first podcast ever. Woo. Yay, Derek! Yeah. All right, you guys. We'll see you soon, Derek. I just want to give some exit information. Pleasure to see you.
Thank you. Good seeing you, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, you guys. I'm going to call Derek, and he's going to make my life better with his Best Credit Solutions. So I advise that you guys get on and use that $79 that he's offering you. Just say you heard about this from the Startup with Monique LeRae and raise your credit score, right? The only way we're going is up, you guys. And with all the setbacks last year, let's go up together. It's really good to be with you here at home. I leave tomorrow. I'm leaving the country. I'm going to Europe. And we're documenting the tail end of this pandemic. I started off with my pillow from the first movie, The Pandemic Project documentary, which we won in Toronto for best trailer. And we're at the tail end of our editing for this film. So shout out to everybody that was included in the American version. I know that there's a resurgence with the Delta variant. Please, be well and be good to each other. And whether it's affected you or not, or you believe in it or not, it's affecting people. You know, I'm out here, I'm doing the road work to show you entrepreneurs that are, being affected and everyday people. So shout out to everybody in healthcare and everybody just trying to make it. We hear you, we see you. Thank you for sharing your stories. So I'm headed to Europe. If you know anyone in Europe, and London, Amsterdam, Ibiza, Valencia, Paris, or Warsaw, Poland, and they have a story and they want to meet up with me outside in a coffee shop and talk about their pandemic story, email me at capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. I will see you next Sunday from Europe. And you guys be well, be good to each other. And I ask you this every week. Oh, please watch the trailer on YouTube, The Pandemic Project documentary. Give it a like, okay, guys? And what will you start up today? Be good to each other, and I'll see you guys in Europe next week. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.